You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Twist on an old Southern hymn. Keith, I bet you don't sing it like that in the Episcopalian church. That's the way the fundamentalists do it right there.
No, well, I'm in the Anglican church now. I had to get out of the Episcopalian church once I started having the gay bishops.
I'm listening.
Well, that's what we have to do. Okay. You know, basically, you know, you can't support with your tithes and offerings the Antichrist, and that's basically what many denominational headquarters have become.
Ain't that the truth? Don't we know it, ladies and gentlemen? But welcome back to tonight's special broadcast of TPC, Confederate History Month, and Easter converging here this Saturday night. We're in the middle between Good Friday and Resurrection Day, and I was looking at the schedule for the rest of the month. We got three more Saturdays left in Confederate History Month. We got at least a half a dozen more guests that are already booked. I mean, we are full to the brim, and it's going to be good, good, good stuff as we focus on the Southern aspect of our identity. At least for those of us here. And I know a lot of people. I mean, you look at the people who support and listen to this program. I mean, it's I don't even know if it's a 50-50 split, because the South is still only 13 states, 13 stars on the flag anyway. And then, you know, all of the states from which we receive support, I don't even know if we started out as a Southern show. We're still a Southern show. But in terms of where our support is drawn from, I mean, it's certainly across the country and around the world. So, whether you're Southern or not, a lot of Southern sympathizers from outside of Dixie, and they're tuned in tonight. They love Confederate History Month.
We're a three-legged stool, like Cranmer said. We have, but our three legs are, we're pro-Christian, we're pro-South, and we're pro-white.
That's it. That is the tripod here. And I get more emails about the Confederate History Month series, and not just from people in the South, that's the point, than any other thing that we do throughout the broadcast calendar. And so many people, this year and every year, this year especially so, have sent music in that they want to have played. So tonight, of course, with it being Easter weekend, we're playing some of the gospel stuff. We'll get back to some of the more period music from the 19th century in the next 3 weeks, and then it's back to business as usual in May. After 2 months of special series, March Around the World and Confederate History Month, but still a lot of that good stuff. You're going to hear music, you're going to hear great guests, great content. But let's talk now about the arrest of Donald Trump. All of our guests this month are going to be Southern-themed, outside of Brett McAtee, who's on to bring the Easter message tonight. He's an honorary Southerner anyway.
That's right.
Up in Michigan. And the pastor of a brick-and-mortar church still to this day. They've attacked him for being someone who shares our beliefs. They've come after him. He's been in the Associated Press and USA Today, and he's still got his congregation. He still shepherds his flock up there at the brick-and-mortar church in Charlotte, Michigan. Not Charlotte, but Charlotte.
Faithful churches that are brick-and-mortar are rare.
You got one
indeed,
right there.
But they do exist, and Brett McAtee is proof.
Christ the King Reformed Church, Pastor Brett McAtee. And you can listen to them online, as Michael Hill does and as the Hamblins do. And we'll be saying hello to Brett from all of them a little bit later here in the third hour. Brad Griffin, though, wrote, I think, all that needs to be said about the Trump arrest. Brad writes, the country is a joke. It has been a joke for a long time now. At this point, the only question is, how much more are we going to put up with? When will the breaking point come? Just in the last 2 weeks, you had a so-called trans man target and shoot up a Christian school in Nashville. The shooter was portrayed as the real victim by the media. Madonna announced she was holding a concert to stand with the 2S LGBTQIA plus community in Nashville. The president refused to stand with the Christian community or to even acknowledge what happened, except to renew his push for gun control. Drag queens performed at the Country Music Television Awards in Nashville last week. Bud Light began to push transgenderism. Ricky Vaughn has been convicted in his federal trial for making memes in the 2016 election. And finally, you got Trump, who's been charged in Manhattan, arrested and charged in Manhattan for 34 counts of felonies. And, you know, look, obviously Trump's a mixed bag. But it's hard to see this collectively. And everything I just rattled off, that's just the last 2 weeks of things that have been going on. Is anything other than an attempt to provoke Trump supporters by rubbing their nose in it? Donald Trump isn't wrong about that. Brad continues, real or imagined, the people have lost their minds about Trump. They see him as a representative of people like us. He's a fascist. He's a white supremacist. His supporters are all a bunch of insurrectionists. They've said it a million times. They really have been trying to get him for years now. But this is a real milestone in our national decline, Keith. Sure, it's just another data point in the same downward slope of our democracy with a capital D. But until now, a former president and a leading presidential candidate have never been arrested. So we're officially a third world country now. This is what happens in Latin America or Africa. And I don't think Trump is the same person today. Brad Griffin called him blump for dump during the Trump administration years when he was just a lazy guy. He wasn't an ideologue. He just wanted to be in power. He wanted to be liked. He wanted to be famous. But Trump himself, as well as his supporters, which we've talked about so much, have truly been radicalized by this whole ordeal. He's over at Truth Social screaming in all caps these days. And Trump supporters, as we mentioned, has also come a very long way since 2018. Far more open to the desirability of a national divorce. Alvin Bragg is further moving the needle for us there, as will very soon Fannie Willis. And Donald Trump has never been more useful than he is today.
Fannie Willis, for those of you not in the know, is the Attorney General for Fulton County, Georgia. That's where Atlanta is.
One of the counties.
One of the counties that it's in. But see, all of these different, you know, there's going to be a prosecution in D.C. There's going to be a prosecution somewhere else, I guarantee you. And this is intentional to basically keep Donald Trump off balance and to have a Trump card, no pun intended, in the left's deck should he win the election in 2024. They will keep all these balls in the air, and they will, you know, they are guaranteed to get convictions in these places, okay? And there's a reason for that, which I will go into in just a moment. But see, it's the de-whitening of America. We have institutions that were created by the founding fathers basically for the white people that were in charge of things back when this nation was founded. Now, Alvin Bragg is black. The judge up there is Puerto Rican. Both of them are affirmative action beneficiaries. Alvin Bragg would never have gone to Harvard Law School were he not black and were he not the benefit of affirmative action. He may have gone to law school somewhere, but he would not be at the pinnacle of the profession where he can get a position like the one he has to commit mischief in. Same thing for this judge. These people are the beneficiaries of a anti-white regime called affirmative action. We'll get into more of this after these words from our sponsor.
The Honorable Cause of Free South is a collection of 12 essays written by Southern nationalist authors. The book explores topics such as what is the Southern nation, what is Southern nationalism, and how can we achieve a free and independent Dixie. The Honorable Cause answers questions on our own terms. The book invites readers to understand for themselves why a free and independent Dixie is both preferable and possible. The book pulls in some of the biggest producers of pro-South content, including James Edwards, the host and creator of The Political Cesspool, and Wilson Smith, author of Charlottesville Untold, Arkansas congressional candidate and activist Neil Kumar, host and creator of the Dissident Mama podcast, Rebecca Dillingham, author of A Walk in the Park, My Charlottesville Story, Identity Dixie's Patrick Martin, and yours truly, Michael Hill, founder and president of the League of the South, as well as several other authors. The Honorable Cause is available now at Amazon.com.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at CSPOA.org. That's CSPOA.org.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an Immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in him alone I see all I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. In sorrow he's my comfort, in trouble he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to grow. He's the lily of the valley, the rising morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here, while I live by faith and do his blessed will. Oh, wall of fire about me, I've nothing now to fear. With his manna he my hungry soul shall fill.
Then sweeping up to glory, I'll see his blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever roll.
He's the
lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
If you know the songs, folk, sing along tonight, this Easter weekend. James Edward Keith Alexander, the great We Are Back. So, Keith, what you had here in the last week since our last show, right around the time of our last show, I guess, Blue State America arrested the president of Red State America. It's full-on Third World Banana Republic here. And for whatever flaws Trump had, and they were legion, he has gotten us to a point that we would not have been at without him had we continued to play the Bush versus Clinton lesser of two evils. I mean, and there really wasn't a lesser in that scenario. We're at a totally different place. The Republican base is at a totally different place than it is now racially without Trump. And what I really loved about this arrest is that the trial doesn't even begin until the Iowa caucuses, basically. I think they're supposed to begin the trial in December, which is just a few weeks before the Iowa caucus. And then we don't know when the Atlanta trial will begin, because that indictment is imminent. And then most likely he'll be indicted in D.C. as well, if not elsewhere, Keith.
Well, one thing you can be sure of is that he'll be found guilty wherever in Blue State America, and I guess Georgia now qualifies as Blue State America because of the pernicious influence of the Atlanta metropolitan area. So that shows you that we no longer have a functioning trial by jury system. Our basic rights as accused people in America now have been stolen from us. Why and how? By diversity. Look at the two affirmative action diversity hires that are in charge of the prosecution up in New York. You have Alvin Bragg, a black guy who obviously is not smart enough to really, in fact, I doubt that he's really smart enough to go to law school.
I think it was V-Dare who had an article this week that he had let out countless, you know, refused to prosecute countless violent and vicious felons, you know, murderers, rapists, etc. If I'm remembering correctly, I mean, certainly people with an extensive, hardcore rap sheet.
Well, see, he can't think abstractly. Neither can this judge, another affirmative action hire, another non-white person who got into his position, got into law school because of affirmative action. Neither one of these guys were, as far as I know, law review candidates or anything. You used to pick your judges based on who was scholarly, who was able to write, who had the mental capability to think abstractly and objectively. On the other hand, Bragg and Marchand have both shown that they're simply partisans. They want to dispense, you know, they are going through the motions of having a trial, but basically when they see Donald Trump's race, when they see the color of his skin, that's all that they need to know in order to bring down a guilty verdict against him. This is what American justice has devolved into under the left and under the Jewish-driven liberalism that seems to have overtaken blue state America.
Obviously, it was engaging in a little bit of hyperbole to say that he let off murderers and rapists. But here's the true story. Alvin Bragg has been criticized for his soft-on-crime policies that have left many career criminals back out onto the street to terrorize New Yorkers. His team has arrested Donald Trump. And despite after spending months going after Trump, Bragg's team has failed to take down some of NYC's worst repeat offenders. This is who's writing this? It wasn't me. Well, this is the New York Post, I think. What is this? Well, it's just a screenshot. Well, anyway, I believe it's from the New York Post, including people with 100-plus arrests, including Harold Gooding, Michelle McKelly, and Jamel Pringle.
And of course,
Gooding has more than 70 arrests just for theft alone. So on and so forth. So
these are not close cases, folks. Basically, Alvin Bragg is not qualified to be a lawyer. I didn't see any suggestion that he had a superior intellect. He's not been on the law review, not things like that, as far as I can tell. And this is what we're left with. We've got people that will not, you know, they just cannot pass muster, that are in positions of power and authority, and they're just. He's a George Soros candidate. He got over $1 million from Soros, reportedly, in order to finance his campaign. This is a leftist takeover, and it's intended to undermine all of the principles upon which this nation was founded.
Did you see, this is a momentary departure, but I'm scrolling through my feed here. You saw where, of course, they removed the Jefferson Davis statue some years ago from Confederate Park in Memphis, which is what we cut our teeth on in defending here back in the mid-2000s. They've now replaced that monument with an Afro hair pick. Look at that. That's it. That's in downtown Memphis. That's on what now is called Fourth Bluff Park. You like that?
See, this
what is that? Tell them what you're looking at.
I'm looking at this Afro pick, okay? they can't even find a person worthy of veneration. They have to get a cultural symbol or something like an Afro pick from the United States. It's something that the Mac or Superfly might have in his pocket. But see, this is what white people have been supine. They have been basically beaten down. They've lost so many times because of Jewish domination of the media and of our institutions that they have basically suffered Stockholm Syndrome, and as a result, they're dismantling our heritage. Taking down our statues is just one very prominent thing that they can do. What they're doing that is much more worrisome and much more damaging is they have corrupted our judicial system with bad judges and bad prosecutors, people that have no business in these positions, that don't have the intellectual firepower to handle the job. And these people hold the fate of our former president and the leading candidate for the Republican Party for the upcoming presidential election in 2024 in their hands.
And why are they going after Trump? Why didn't they go after Bush, who murdered untold numbers of Iraqis? That's what
because Bush was part of the club, and Donald Trump was an outsider.
They think he is our avatar. Whether he is or isn't, they think he is, and that's why they're
going after. They have decided that he's our avatar, and they're going to take him down by any means. Believe me, I don't know what would happen to him if he were to be elected, but they're not going to allow him to serve.
If he is, as you say, convicted And will they go that far? I don't know. I think they certainly want to keep him from winning, and they think that having him under multiple indictments in multiple jurisdictions will probably sour his opportunity. I think he's going to win the Republican nomination.
They're
going to
pull any punches if they get, if they, you know, then if, right, let's say he loses, they're going to absolutely bring the hammer down.
All right.
Find him to be guilty, and they're going
to
put him in jail.
Well, that has
because they are just that mean spirited.
Well, I would say that that would be all sorted out by election year 2024. But my beleaguered libel lawsuit, in which I was routed at every turn, lasted 2 years. So
you're another victim of affirmative action.
The will of justice grinds slowly but exceedingly fine.
Well, you had a three judge panel, two Jews and one black. Okay. The Jews were left-wing Jews. Of course, those are the only type that wind up being appointed to positions of power and authority in our government. And none of these people felt in the least constrained by stare decisis or statutory history or, you know,
I don't want to be like the three legislators in Tennessee who's making the murder victims in Nashville all about them being expelled from the legislature this week. Although that's a silver lining. I don't want to make the Trump indictment about me, but if it took two years for my case to be sorted out, we were ran through like
Well, you're going to see Kamala Harris and Joe Biden come down there and try to put as much pressure as they can on the Tennessee legislature to reinstate these people.
We're all over the place. Now, people might not even know what's going on in Tennessee. We'll tell them about this. But the indictment of Trump, I want to revisit a scenario that Patrick Barton laid out in last week's show. Then we'll tell people what's going on in Tennessee. We'll continue it all. Lots going on, folks. The divide is widening, and that's what we want.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News. I'm Jerry Varmish. Nashville City Council members say they will vote as early as Monday to reinstate Representative Justin Jones. He was one of two Democrats expelled from the Tennessee House for protesting gun violence on the floor after the Nashville school shooting. The Metropolitan Council has 39 members, and 23 have confirmed that they will vote to reinstate him as representative. The FDA approval of an abortion pill has been halted by a federal judge in Texas.
Ruling in a lawsuit brought by anti-abortion groups, Trump appointee Judge Matthew Kaczmarek issued an order to stop the prescription and distribution of mifepristone nationwide. But that's been stayed to give the government time to appeal, something Attorney General Merrick Garland, calling the decision unprecedented, has already said he'll do. President Biden and Vice President Harris have also vowed to fight the move. A judge in Washington State, meanwhile, has made a conflicting ruling. Such a legal standoff means it's quite likely the matter will end up heading to the Supreme Court. I'm Karen Sloan.
There are some positive signs in the economy, but they aren't necessarily translating into positive poll numbers for the president.
While unemployment has dropped to 3.5%, President Biden is not receiving any political payoff for that good news. His approval ratings keep falling. American adults generally feel bad about the economy, and the White House can list several reasons why. High inflation, the hangover from the pandemic, and the political polarization that leaves Republicans automatically believing the economy is sour under a Democratic president. And that jobless rate is expected to climb this year as well, maybe reaching 5.1%, according to the Congressional Budget Office. I'm John Schaefer.
The White House will host its annual Easter egg roll on Monday. First Lady Jill Biden is continuing her theme of eggucation for the event. This is USA News.
Okay, I'm talking funny because I'm in the witness protection program. I have too much credit card debt and I don't want people to find me.
Okay, I'm just kidding. We're going to talk about credit card debt. Right, those plastic things that we all have in our wallet. Are you in your 50s or 60s and you're still carrying around a mound of credit card debt? Wouldn't it be nice to start banking that money and save a little money for retirement down the road? We help people restructure their credit card debt all the time. We show people how they can get out of credit card debt in months, not years. Listen, you'll be carrying around credit card debt for the rest rest of your life unless you deal with it right now. We offer a free consultation so you can learn how you can finally wipe out your credit card debt and start saving money. Give us a free call right now.
Call Debt Solutions Network now. 866-451-3328. 866-451-3328. That's 866-451-3328.
Standing on the promises I cannot fall, listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all, standing on the promises of God.
The way I grew up, ladies and gentlemen, and it was a wonderful childhood, and I am here as a result of my upbringing. There's no doubt about that. This Easter weekend, you know, when Christmas rolls around, we play that feel-good, fun Christmas music all the month of December, really the last week of November as well. But Easter weekend, we roll out those Southern Gospel hymns. I hope you're enjoying it tonight, even if you can't relate like I can. I hope you're enjoying it. Keith, Patrick Martin laid out a scenario last week, and the scenario is that he was thinking that Donald Trump might refuse to even go and endure the injustice of being indicted, but he did go, and he did surrender in that way. But now if he's found guilty, if the time comes where he has to go and face some sentencing, Patrick laid out this scenario, unlikely, but something's going to kick this thing off. Let's say Trump refuses to go to jail. Refuses to report to prison, and he hunkers in Mar-a-Lago, and DeSantis refuses to extradite him. Now, that's fanciful, I'll admit, but something, listen, all of this is, again, further radicalizing half the country even more than they already were, and they had come a long way, believe me. So I don't know. I mean, it's all possible. Anything is possible. Now, we are at the... We're at a very interesting juncture, I think, in American history. Certainly, they are trying to take out the people that they see as threats, but what damage are they doing to the stability of this whole operation in doing so?
Well, you know, the scenario that you just put forth, that would be a giant step towards
Well, that would
secession.
Be just about everything. That would be like the silver bullet.
They would probably send troops into Florida or a military mission to capture him. And that would be like a Fort Sumter moment, basically.
That's probably, again, if it's too good to be true, it normally is. Although I do know half the country is totally at odds with the other half. And something's going to be the thing that lights this powder keg. And it could be this.
Well, the problem is the other side from us has the Jewish power and influence behind it. They have the money and they have the institutions. They have the institutional power now. We have numbers, but we don't have power or wealth backing us up. And they're, you know, the elites basically are telling us, to heck with you little people in red state America. You don't rule us. We rule you. And that's what is going
to... And that's where it is now. That's where it's been for a long time.
Yeah, and the thing is, we didn't know it until we had, like you said, somebody like Trump come along and upset the apple cart. Somebody who was not a political insider, who is not, as George Wallace said about the Republican and Democrat Party, the difference between them is the difference between Tweedledum and Tweedledee.
God works in mysterious ways, using a secular Yankee to be his instrument, potentially. Let's read what Paul Craig Roberts has said about the Trump indictment, what Trump's indictment means. Paul Craig Roberts, who was on the show again earlier this year, I'll read this quickly, Keith, and let you respond. President Donald Trump, Paul Craig Roberts writes, was arraigned on the basis of sealed charges. It is unclear why those charges were sealed. Imagine arresting someone on the basis of charges kept from the person. It happens in America as it did in Stalin's Soviet Union. Perhaps the charges have been kept secret so that the media can defame President Trump by reporting that his arrest is related to his alleged involvement in hush money payment and subsequent cover-up involving a purported affair with adult film star Stormy Daniels, quote-unquote, as Sputnik International reported. But Trump was not arrested for paying extortion money to a porn star who saw her opportunity for extortion when Trump announced as a presidential candidate. No affair has been proven. It is ordinary for people being extorted to pay up in order to avoid the controversy that prostitutes would love to turn into fact.
In other words, it's not proof of guilt.
The basic charge against Trump is an orchestration. A black Democrat, this is Paul Craig Roberts writing, a black Democrat New York prosecutor, rumored to be a protege of Trump-hating George Soros, one of America's worst enemies, claims that Trump committed a misdemeanor, not a felony, by reporting a payment as a legal expense billed to his company instead of reporting it as a campaign contribution. This is merely the prosecutor's opinion, an opinion successfully fed to a grand jury. Paul Craig Roberts continues, and this is key. And this is what Sam Dixon has said, almost to the word. It is well known, Craig Roberts writes, that grand juries are putty in a prosecutor's hands. This is in one of his most recent columns at paulcraigroberts.org. In law, this would be a misdemeanor handled with a fine, but the prosecutor also assumes that the payment was intentionally misreported in order to mask a campaign contribution as a corporate expenditure. This assumption by the prosecutor is what turns the charge into a federal felony. In other words, it is all supposition of the prosecutor. The question I can't answer is how a state prosecutor can try a person for a federal crime. Roberts continues. The Democrats have gotten away with Russiagate, false impeachments, Insurrectiongate, Documentsgate, covering up Hillary Clinton's felonies, suppressing and censoring the damning information on Hunter Biden's laptop, stolen elections, and a large variety of other violations of law and due process. They know the prostitutes will continue to support their 7-year-old attack on Donald Trump. Republicans are not fighters. Their control of the House of Representatives is a limited power. Moreover, the Republican establishment wants rid of Trump as much as the Democrats do. Trump is the choice of ordinary men and women who are powerless, Keith, and that's exactly what you just said. South American leaders have responded by pointing out that the arrest of a former president means that the U.S. is now in the same category as banana republics, where each successor president arrests his predecessor. I love that line. I'm going to read it again. America is now in the same category as banana republics, where each successor president arrests his predecessor. The arrest of Trump has the single purpose of establishing for all time that the American elite who rule will not tolerate a president who represents the people and not themselves. This and only this is what the indictment of Donald Trump is all about.
Well, several points here. Okay, first of all, sealed indictment. The whole purpose of having the indictment process and the taking things before a grand jury is to unseal it, to make sure that the public gets to know what's going on. That's what a writ of habeas corpus is. You can't, according to the Constitution in the Bill of Rights, have somebody prosecuted, keep them in jail, not tell them what they're charged with indefinitely. They have a right to ask for a writ of habeas corpus. What are you holding me for? Well, they're ignoring that. They're ignoring the directives of our founding fathers and our founding documents that have governed our criminal justice system since the beginning of our nation. Now, also, we were talking about the fact that we have a state prosecutor bring a prosecution for a violation of federal law. That's improper. Federal law prosecutions are supposed to be handled by federal attorney generals. They have one in every district court, federal district court in the United States. But for some reason, they decided that that guy was not as malleable as Mr. Bragg. Mr. Bragg is not an intellectual. He's not a top student. He went to Harvard not because he made good grades or was a smart person. He went there totally because he filled a quota for black people. He's a big, fat nincompoop, okay? And we have guys like that who don't have, they're not only intellectually deficient, they are morally deficient. They don't care what the law requires. They're going to damn the torpedoes full speed ahead and prosecute Donald Trump in front of a judge who has the same outlook, a judge who gave money to the Democrats and to Joe Biden in the last election. That should disqualify him from being the judge in this case. Just like Alvin Bragg's partisanship and his George Soros affiliation should disqualify him. But that's not going to happen up in blue state America today. And that's why red state America needs a divorce. That's why we need to be separate from them, because we can no longer trust these people to play by the rules, well, quite frankly. And, you know, that's just nothing that, you know, Alvin Bragg and Marshawn, the judge, are not people that, you know, really are capable of handling their duties. They are sheer partisans. They were chosen for their positions because of partisanship. And we now see, you know, the mask is off. There's no longer any pretense that somehow
There's no pretense of this, Keith. You cannot vote. You cannot legislate your way out of this. You have all of these state houses that are legislating against the gender mutilation of minors.
That's what's happening in Tennessee, and Biden and Kamala Harris are coming down to try to reverse that.
We'll tell you exactly what they're coming down for when we come back. But you can't vote your way out of it. What happens when you vote for somebody they don't want? They indict him. They arrest him. They very well may send him to prison. You can't legislate your way out of it. When you do, a judge in some foreign jurisdiction overturns the will of the people or the will of the representatives of that state. We'll talk a little more about that when we come back.
Hey there, TPC family. This is James Edwards, your host of The Political Cesspool. Folks, I want you to subscribe to the American Free Press, America's last real newspaper. Against all odds, AFP has and continues to publish a populist, independent print newspaper with an unparalleled track record. Founded by a dedicated group of experienced patriots, AFP pulls no punches and tackles the most controversial and pressing issues facing America from an America First perspective. I've worked with the American Free Press since even before the beginning of TPC. Now that's something. You can subscribe to the print edition by visiting AmericanFreePress.net today, or simply pick up a handy digital edition subscription. However you do it, subscribe to the American Free Press, America's last real newspaper, by visiting AmericanFreePress.net or by calling 1-888-699-NEWS, AmericanFreePress.net.
True Passover versus Easter. The Catholic Church and most denominations follow the Jewish Passover. Here is the Jewish tradition. The Passover takes place 14 days after the new moon, after the equinox. But what does God say? In Isaiah 1 verse 14, quote, "Your new moon feasts and your appointed festivals I hate with all my being," unquote. Now notice God's word versus Jewish tradition. Quote, "In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at twilight, is the Lord's Passover," unquote. That's from Leviticus 23, verse 5. God's year begins on the spring equinox. Passover is always on the 14th day of God's year, the 14th day after the equinox. The Sunday after the Passover is Resurrection Sunday. None of this is about fertility, which is exactly what Easter is all about. Easter bunny and eggs, fertility rites, are paganism.
Revive us again, fill each heart with thy love, may each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, find the glory, hallelujah, amen, hallelujah, find the glory, revive us again.
Ladies and gentlemen, whether you have or have not yet received the gift of belief, I would ask you to stay tuned through the conclusion of tonight's live broadcast when Pastor Brett McAtee of the Brick and Mortar Church, I tell you, that is certainly a thing that is rare in this day and age, to have a man of faith who is also not ashamed of his patrimony. And Pastor Brett has been on with us many times over the years now to talk about that reconciliation of racial identity and spiritual identity. But he is a mainstay at our show nearest to Easter and Christmas. And he is, of course, the pastor of Christ the King Reformed Church in Charlotte, Michigan. Also pastored a church in South Carolina before his current stop. So there's that. But I look forward to receiving his message in the third hour, our last hour before Resurrection Day. So Keith, we were talking about in the last segment, you can't vote your way out of this. You can't legislate your way out of it. And I want to get back to that in one moment, but I want to say one more thing about faith before Pastor Brett comes on, and then we're going to let you tell us what's going on here in Tennessee this week that has made national headlines vis-a-vis this cultural and national divide. But with regard to Easter and all of this, certainly rarely are white Christians encouraged by what they see happening in American churches today. Formerly decent and faithful churches and major denominations are falling like dominoes, adopting unbiblical policies and beliefs harmful to God's people in general and hostile to white Christians in particular. And this cues the time where we bring out the tried and true quote from A.W. Tozer, who put it that, quote, religion today is not transforming people, rather it is being transformed by the people. It is not raising the moral level of society. It is descending to society's own level and congratulating itself that it has scored a victory because society is smilingly accepting its surrender. That is one of the all-time quotes as far as I'm concerned. But I will assure you that there does exist that faithful remnant of white Christians in this country who are godly. You heard from one already tonight. You'll hear from another in the next hour, Michael Hill and Brett McAtee, respectfully. Bible-believing Christians who love and advocate for our people. I'm one of them. I know many. And for us, there is no contradiction between the two propositions, no inconsistency or conflict whatsoever. In fact, they are complementary to the point that not only can you believe a Christian and love your race, not only should you be a Christian and love your race, but if you are a Christian, you will love your race. You will feel the same willingness to sacrifice yourself for your people that Paul did when he wrote, quote, "For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh." That's Romans 9:3. You'll feel the same imperative to protect your genetic line as Abraham did when he told his servant, "But thou shalt go into my country, into my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac." Genesis 24:4. And you'll fear the displeasure of God, who said through Paul, quote, "But if any provide not for his own, especially those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel," 1 Timothy 5:8. Food for thought this Easter weekend. Keith, Brett McAtee is going to come in and give us that Easter message in the third hour. But first, there is major national news that correlates with all of the stuff going on. This stuff with Trump, the national divide, the growing number of people beginning to entertain the notion of secession. And it happened right here in Tennessee with our own state legislature this week. Break it down. What happened? Why three members were up to be expelled from the House? Why two of the sitting members of the Tennessee State Legislature were expelled from government this week? What's going on in Tennessee? What's going on in Nashville? Big stuff. And it all stems from the transgendered attack on that Christian school.
Right. We're on the front lines of the culture war here at Tennessee and Kentucky because our legislatures have passed laws preventing underage children from deciding to change their sex as assigned at birth, okay? this is what this is all about. They're trying to tell you that the protest at the state capitol in Tennessee was about gun control laws. That's an afterthought. The people that showed up, and they were basically teenagers, young white people, they are the woke generation, like the Pepsi generation of old. They are the people that are supporting the LGBTQ, whatever additional letters and numbers they have decided to tack onto that, I don't know. Ask Madonna. But nonetheless, they were trying their best to, let the state legislature know how unhappy they were that they struck a blow for common sense and said, we are not going to permit in Tennessee children to have sex reassignment surgeries until they're at least arguably capable of, you know, making an adult decision. And the, you know, 18 is the lowest threshold for adulthood, as far as I know, but that's what Kentucky and Tennessee did, and that's what was being protested. Do not be misled.
And it looked very similar to what they said was an attack on our democracy, the so-called January 6th insurrection. They were doing the exact same thing. You know what the media called it? Exactly what our democracy looks like. Yeah. And that it should happen every day. And you had three members of the Tennessee State Legislature join in that protest, and they interrupted a legislative session. And
well, there's one good thing to say about the Tennessee legislature. It's majority Republican, and they've had a belly full of the Democrats. The only Democrats, basically, are in a few college towns like Knoxville and Nashville, and then Memphis, which is the only majority black city in Tennessee. So you had two black guys, one from Nashville, one from Memphis. I don't know what their sexual preference is, but if they were not homosexual, they missed a wonderful opportunity.
I got to play this. I don't want to sully the Easter broadcast by playing this, but I must. So here...
Well, let me add this first. And the woman was from Knoxville, and she was the one that got off on one vote. She apparently
what
had
she
one
do, what was she? What would the woman from Knoxville do to a freight train?
She would make him take a dirt road.
She skated by one vote. The other two, who were black Democrats from Nashville,
of course,
and
the
Memphis,
national media is trying to say that she got out because she was white and because all these people were racist. No, it's not. She had one friend in the Republican caucus that decided to vote for her and keep her from being kicked out.
But a state legislature expelling two sitting members of its governing body is pretty profound in Tennessee. It only happened three times before in the whole history of the state.
Well, this type of disruption with bullhorns and basically bringing all the business of the state legislature to a grinding halt, that is pretty rare, too.
Now, listen to this guy, one of the guys that was expelled, and Anthony Cumia, who has been on this show, very nationally renowned Anthony Cumia, caught all sorts of hell for coming on this show. He said this guy sounds like an MLK cover band. Now, you will hear this, and if you ever want to know what LARPing is, live action role play, listen to this guy who's in his, what, his 20s? Is a member of the Tennessee State House who was just
expelled. Martin Luther King did the same thing. He was just mocking what other
black Baptist
preachers,
yeah. Listen to this guy. This is what he said right before he was expelled from the House. This is
this one from Memphis? Yeah, it is. And his name is what?
Justin Pearson.
It was a sad day on Saturday. All hope seemed to be lost. Representatives were thrown out of the state house. Democracy seemed to be at its end. Seemed like the NRA and gun lobbyists might win. But oh, that was good news for us. I don't know how long this Saturday in the state of Tennessee might last. But oh, we have good news, folks. We've got good news that Sunday always comes. Resurrection is a promise, and it is a prophecy. It's a prophecy that came out of the cotton fields. It's a prophecy that came out of the lynching tree. It's a prophecy that still lives in each and every one of us in order to make the state of Tennessee the place that it ought to be. And so I've still got hope because I know we are still here and we will never quit.
All right, so he's been lynched because he was expelled from a governing body for interrupting the legislative.
He was thrown back in the cotton field. Yeah, see, all this type of stuff. That's why they
how
say.
How long? Not long.
Yeah, right.
Can you do it?
Oh, yes.
You got to rhyme. If you're not rhyming, you're not jiving.
I don't know if I'm going to make it there with you, folks, but I, you know, all of that type of stuff. See, this is, you know, he's possibly angling to be a black preacher himself. And in fact, he probably is. If you get a large building in an area that is turned black in Memphis, it invariably becomes a church.
And you can rhyme and talk with that sort of
right and perspire
timber.
And you get you give away to the ladies in the church your perspiration soaked handkerchief that you mop your brow with. That's what church is the only business you can go into where the only inventory you need is hot air. And that's
Trump is indicted.
Like him is
people are being thrown out of state legislature. I'm telling you, though, this thing is further moving in the direction of a call it what you will. National divorce. You can call it. You call it whatever you want if you so choose.
The left is doing us a great favor with all of this stuff by trying to make sexual depravity and sexual immorality a civil rights. They've gone a bridge too far. The people that don't see the connection between the evil of the left and the civil rights movement, or the evil of the left and the feminist movement, and things like this.
Well, it's suffrage. I mean, you know, there was the meme suffrage about Susan B. Anthony. It was some man dressed as a woman thanking Susan B. Anthony for giving him the right to vote. And she's like, "What?" I mean, this is the natural extension of that. But the situation here, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris met with these two black members of the Tennessee State House who were expelled this week, but not even a statement in sympathy for the Christians who were
massacred. They're coming down to steamroll the state legislature. This is federal usurpation of the law and the federal system. Stay tuned, folks, and let's see what happens.
We'll find out together, one way or another. Thank you, Keith Alexander, Pastor Brett McAtee, bringing us the good news of Jesus' resurrection in the third and final hour.
And the bad news of the Biden administration.
Well, I don't know if he'll cover that tonight, but he might. We'll see. We'll find out next.